Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel.
How do you hear me speak?
We realized through the evidence we got through the research that we were literally chasing consciousness.
Who am I speaking to?
I was a complete skeptic most of my life. But when she got the stuff home and started reviewing it, that's when I went, wait, what? There probably hasn't been an advancement in spirit communication in 75 or more years, but we wanted to capture something that really made people go, wait a minute, how did this happen? You know, science would always say they won't look into the paranormal because they can't study it. It's not repeatable. This is. It can be repeated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Those voices are there. They will answer questions. This is studyable.
It's working. Can you please try to communicate with us? I'm saying that.
Well, we've all heard ghost stories, whispers in the dark, voices caught on tape, fleeting sounds that could be something or nothing at all. Do you remember playing with that Ouija board growing up? Well, for decades, people who wanted to prove communication with the dead turned to device spirits called spirit boxes, scanning radio frequencies in hope of catching a voice in the static. The problem? Skeptics had an easy answer. It's just stray radio chatter. But what if you could strip all of that away? No radio, no frequencies, no chance of interference, just pure static. And yet, out of that noise, full sentences appear. Relevant, timely, intelligent responses to the questions being asked. Voices that sometimes even family members in the room recognize. That's exactly what my guest tonight, Tony Rathman, has spent the last 15 years developing. His system, called Staticom, slows and filters white noise in real time, creating what he believes is a direct line to disembodied consciousness. It's not just a recording to analyze later. It's live. It's interactive. It's two-way communication happening right in front of you. Tonight, we're not just talking about ghosts. We're asking, what if consciousness doesn't die with the body? What if technology can capture proof of something far beyond? And what would it mean for science, for spirituality, and for the way we think about life and death? Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, you've never heard static like this before. Tony, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood. Where are you coming from today?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I want to start off with your title. You are an ITC researcher and paranormal investigator. Can you just tell people exactly what that means?
Sure. ITC, which stands for Instrumental Transcommunication, is sort of a second step from EVP or electronic voice phenomenon. Electronic voice phenomenon uses a digital recorder and you turn it on, you ask questions and hope to get answers. The difference between doing straight EVP and what was later termed as ITC is that you're hoping for more of a two-way communication rather than asking questions, taking it home, loading it to your computer, and only hearing answers after you've left. So that's the difference between EVP and ITC. One's one-way communication, and the other one's supposed to be two-way. EVP is actually a form of ITC. ITC is being able to communicate using any type of instrumentation.
Got it. Okay. So did you grow up loving Poltergeist or something? Like, how did we get into this?
Well,
I loved Poltergeist.
Everybody loved Poltergeist. Yeah. When that movie came out, it was, you know, it was mind blowing. But actually, that's not how I got into it. In fact, I was a complete skeptic. most of my life. It was when I met my wife, and the shows started coming out, and she kept watching them over and over. And she'd say to me, "Come on over here. You're going to love this." And I'd last about 2 minutes. And I'd get up and I'd look at her and I'd say, "You realize none of this is real. This is for television only. None of this exists." I mean, and I'd look at her and go, "You know, come on." Well, then she tricked me back in 2010. It was Valentine's Day weekend. And I said, "Hey, Valentine's Day weekend's coming up. What do you want to do?" She said, "I want to do something different this year." I said, "Okay, what do you want to do?" She said, "I want to go ghost hunting." And I was like, "You're kidding me." Well, I had two choices. I could take her or have her mad at me until next Valentine's Day.
Right. Right.
Didn't want that. So I did some preliminary research online, happened to find a hotel that had a reputation for being haunted and booked the weekend. Thought, okay, good. I got it. I'm done.
Oh my gosh.
But then I started thinking, wait, out of the maybe 6 minutes over the last 3 months of her telling me to watch, I realized they had equipment. So I said, okay. So I went out and I bought her a night vision camera, EMF meter, electronic meter, and a digital recorder.
And wait, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt your story, but where do you even find these things? This sounds like something you would get on Ghostbusters or whatever.
Well, you can find most of those anywhere. I mean, I think I grabbed them off of Amazon at that time, but
okay.
A night vision camera just allows you to film in both day or night.
Sure.
Digital recorder, you can find anywhere. It's just a small pocket-sized recorder that will record in digital format. Mm. And an EMF meter, you can find it, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's, anywhere. So
but
they
you were assuming that this is just for fun and you're like appeasing her at this point.
Correct. Yeah. I expected the weekend to go by. All I cared about was that she had fun. And then I figured the stuff would sit in the closet until we either sold it or threw it away, one of the two.
Yeah. And but so what happened?
Well, I played along. You know, she had a great weekend. That was all I cared about.
Yeah.
But when she got the stuff home and started reviewing it, that's when I went, wait, what? So there were things in the photograph that weren't there when we took them. But the thing that caught my attention the most was on the digital recorder. It was probably 2 o'clock in the morning. We were only one of three guests in the entire hotel. So nobody was around. Mm-hmm. We made our way down to the basement, which technically, we probably shouldn't even have been in, but there was nobody there. And I'm playing along with her, and she's asking, "Are there spirits in here?" And so I'm playing along too, and I'm saying similar questions. And "Can you tell me your name?" There were answers on the recorder when we got back home and she was reviewing it. I was blown away.
Wow.
So I tried to debunk it, couldn't. And then I said to her, "Let's go back one more time. Maybe there was an air vent that voices were coming through, or maybe these anomalies in the photos, maybe there was a window in the basement we didn't notice and light was shining through, casting shadows or light anomalies."
So, to clarify, as you were in the moment, you were not hearing anything and you were not seeing anything. So you felt like this was like nothing was happening.
Correct. Yeah. We heard nothing at the time, and we didn't notice anything when we were taking pictures. So what showed up wasn't there, or we didn't hear at the time. So we went back. None of those were the case. There was no window. There was no vent with voices coming through. And we came back with even more voices answering the question. That was 15 and a half years ago, and we haven't put it down since.
Okay. Wait, I have so many questions. So, sure. So, first of all, where did you go?
We went to a hotel called the Hotel San Carlos in downtown Phoenix.
Okay. And did you end up thinking that these were spirits that were in there? Like, what did they tell you about how this place was haunted? Like,
it has a long history of people saying that it's haunted. Now, of course, yeah. I didn't believe any of it. There was a woman that jumped off the roof, shortly after it was built, a couple of years after it was built. I think it was built in 1936, if I remember correctly. in the 40s, she jumped off the roof, landed on Monroe Street and died. So there's rumors that she's been seen. There's rumors of strange noises. It sounds like wooden chairs being dragged across wooden floors, yet the hotel today has no wooden floors. Everything is carpeted. But we heard it. We heard all that.
And you don't think at this point the hotel is just sort of having these sounds or things happening because people come there because they expect to interact with spirits?
No. Like I said, being completely skeptic, I didn't expect anything to show up on pictures, video, or audio, but it was there. And we investigated that particular hotel like over 50 times because of everything that we were catching.
Right. Wow. Okay. Amazing. All right. You talk about communicating with disembodied consciousness. Can you explain what that means?
Sure. When we started this, and I realized that we were getting voices, we had one intent. That intent was to capture the clearest spirit voice that we could and prove. I mean, EVP has been around since the 50s, mm-hmm. and people are aware of it. There's many people that have captured them. It's not something that's unknown. Is it scientifically proven? No, but it is out there. There probably hasn't been an advancement in spirit communication in 75 or more years, but we wanted to capture something that really made people go, wait a minute, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. Well, the way we went from chasing spirits, well, the spirit I found was my own, because we weren't chasing just a spirit or a voice. We realized through the evidence we got through the research that we were literally chasing consciousness, our consciousness as we're alive here on Earth, and consciousness that survives death and becomes part of what we believe to be universal consciousness after death. But it survives. It's the ontological primitive of life, meaning it's there before you're alive. It's fractal portioned of universal consciousness while you're alive, and then returns back after death to universal consciousness.
Okay, so if I'm following this train of thought, what does that tell us about life after death?
It absolutely exists.
But in the communications you say you've had, have you asked about it? I mean, are they in a state like we are, where we're fully aware of what's going on? Do they think they're the same person? Like, explain what you have learned.
Sure. So who you are on the inside, what you think, what you feel, what you know, that's consciousness. Okay. Life cannot be experienced without consciousness. For something to happen and you say, oh, wow, you know, did you see that train go by or whatever? You have to be conscious to be aware that that happened. All of that awareness boils down to what consciousness is. It's knowledge, it's understanding, it's memories, it's who you are at the root. Mm-hmm. That transfers the wrong word, because if you are consciousness in human body form, all you lose is the vessel or the container, the body. And that essence of consciousness, of who you are, your personality, and every part of it, that continues on.
Okay, I'm following. So have you had any communication with these spirits and asked what's next? Like, well, what are they doing? Are they floating around? Like, just consciousness floats around. Do you know what I mean? Like, it gets confusing. So what happens?
Well, there's a lot in that question you just asked. First of all, people always ask us, well, have them tell us where they are. Well, time and space is a human construct. We created it. And our version of it is linear, meaning that you're past is on one side, your present is the here and now, and then your future is what's yet to come. That does not exist for them. So having us telling or asking them, where are you? is like me saying to you, Rachel, do you like ice cream? And you say, yeah. And I said, okay, without using time, tell me the last time you had ice cream. Physical impossibility. You can't right. do it. So there is no real past or future. There is only the present. And they are, we believe, by what information we've gotten, our energy, frequency, and vibration. Their life is anything they want it to be by just plain thought. And they can do anything they want. They can experience anything they remember or want to experience because they are part of universal consciousness or shared knowledge. You know, because people will ask us things like, okay, wait, if you're talking to a spirit from the 1800s and you're saying, speak into the digital recorder, how would they even know what that is?
Oh, based on their experience. Right. Okay.
Correct. If they lived in the 1800s, the digital recorder wouldn't have existed at that time.
Right.
Well, if there's one universal consciousness or one mind of which we're all part of, only through individual subjective experiences during a fractional portion of it when we're alive mm-hmm. allows us as individuals to grow, to evolve, to expand individual knowledge. Everything that I've learned in this lifetime, when I pass away, all that information goes back to universal consciousness. That would be the only way a single mind could grow and expand, because a single mind wouldn't be able to grow or expand itself. And the fact that space is expanding at the speed of light daily, a universal mind or consciousness, which is creating everything, would also have to grow and expand, or one of them would become stagnant. And of course, that hasn't happened. So that's the process of expansion and growth to a single mind or universal consciousness through our individual lives.
I mean, I've never thought about it that way, that it's so interesting. And I suppose you wouldn't even know what questions to ask this universal mind or these spirits based on anything else besides their experience on Earth or how they died or things that they know, because we are not familiar with how to communicate beyond what we know in life. Do you follow Correct. What I'm saying? Yeah. So it'd be absolutely. Hard to be like, what are you going through? Because maybe that's not how they associate their life, their world. We're all about purpose. What, you know, what is your next purpose? And maybe that's not what they have up there or down
well,
there.
I can tell you from years of research that they can tell us anything that's already happened. I mean, I literally can say, what did I have for lunch last Wednesday? And they'll answer and correctly, but they will not tell you anything about future. Meaning I can literally say, spirits, I have a choice of two jobs. Which one should I take? Crickets. They won't answer. They also won't answer what's the next set of winning Powerball numbers, because we've asked many times. But we believe that they are following what we call universal laws, meaning they're not allowed to affect the life you're here to live, to learn, and to grow. And they cannot change that in any way, shape, or form, because we believe we're here for a purpose. We're here for learning. We're here for growth. They can't touch that.
Well, but maybe that also means that what's in the moments ahead and the future is not already destined to be. Maybe they don't know, because we think it's fate and destined and will happen no matter what. But maybe that's just not true. And they wouldn't know because it doesn't exist like that, possibly.
Great point. And that is the whole purpose, which also you take with you, is free will. Humans have free will. Spirits have free will to make their own choices, make their own decisions, and make mistakes by them to learn and grow. So that is an excellent point, and I completely agree.
What if I told you that the idea that you only get parasites when you travel to some exotic country is flat wrong? Millions of Americans carry parasites right now, often without symptoms. For example, it's estimated that millions in the United States have been exposed to Toxocara, a parasitic worm, yet most never even know it. Parasites do not need a plane ticket. They can enter through tap water, sushi, undercooked foods, or contaminated produce. Some strains live in all stages: eggs, larvae, adults, hidden in your gut, releasing toxins that sabotage your energy and digestion. That's why I'm excited about Parify, Kim Rogers' 30-day full-spectrum parasite cleanse. The kit works by clearing parasites, worms, candida, and heavy metals, targeting parasites in all life stages, supporting gut health, detox pathways, and toxin removal. It's taken orally, daily, for 30 days with precise dosing. I'm actually doing it myself right now. I started with the lymph cleanse, then I'm doing the Parify. Want to dive deep? I did a full interview with Kim Rogers, the worm queen herself, where we expose all the myths, understand the facts, and show how to protect your body. Listen to that episode if you haven't already. Meanwhile, go to rogershood.com and use the code Rachel to get 10% off of your order. That's R-A-C-H-E-L for 10% off. Give it a try. Maybe your body's missing link is hiding inside. Let's do this together. Again, it's rogershood.com, R-O-G-E-R-S-H-O-O-D.com, and use the code Rachel for 10% off. There is a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5 where purpose and grit and the American spirit come together in the Peace Corps. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you. And the love part is knowing your hard work can transform lives and build bridges across cultures. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve. That's peacecorps.gov/serve.
Okay, so let me ask you a question about, because I want to get into your, to Staticom, but what do you think of people who say they communicate with the dead in general? You know, there are plenty of people that have made a life fortune on saying that they're famous communicators of the dead, or even down to tarot card readers. Do you believe that those are people that are essentially mentalists, or do they really, are they really communicating because of some, something within them? I mean, they're not using a piece of equipment like you are.
That's a very good question. My answer to that is that for somebody who actually has the ability, and let's face it, the whole tarot card reading, the psychics, you know, the ones you'd see at like state fairs, there's a lot of people out there just looking for the cash and may not have them. But for people that actually do have the ability, and there are ones that have been tested over and over and can pass these tests, and we're not talking easy tests, the people that actually do have abilities, it's not really that different from what we do with Staticom to how they receive the information. If consciousness or spirits are energy, frequency, and vibration, then those messages, images, feelings are sent to the person who has the abilities, and they are porous enough or open-minded enough to accept them exactly how our technology is doing it. The only difference is that they have to then interpret the signal. They have to figure out what message they're being sent, and then they have to turn around and restate it to you.
Right.
Whereas with Staticom, there's no third-party interpreter. You will hear it directly from them.
Right. Which obviously the way they're doing it leaves, you know, your emotions are in it. It leaves, you know, human error and things to be left to interpretation, like you said. So you never know if what they're saying is really true or just their feeling based on their experience of what they're hearing, which cannot be accurate.
Perfectly said. Perfectly said.
So I want to hear about the guts of how you got to this creation of Staticom. Again, like I feel like when I was younger, after watching Poltergeist, I turned on a TV, I would try and find the white noise or whatever, and just look at this blank TV and just wait for something or use Ouija boards or whatever. So that obviously never worked. And why didn't it work for me and it works for you? Like, let's get into the whole guts of what it really is.
Sure. So as we evolved further into instrumental transcommunication, quite a few years ago, we partnered with another set of researchers, and they went back through history for every known method that was ever used and researched what worked, what didn't work, what was considered that they were faking it, what was considered to actually have been accurate. And the method that came forward actually came about before what was known as the Spirit Box. The Spirit Box was developed by a gentleman named Frank Sumption. It was basically a radio that scanned up and down the dial. But the method that we researched was called direct radio voice. And it was developed by a gentleman named Friedrich Jurgensen. Friedrich Jurgensen called press conferences like crazy, saying, hey, listen to this. I can get voices that are not of a radio station, because direct radio voice wouldn't be on a station. It would sit on just open white noise static, but yet he'd get communication. So he passed that information on to a gentleman named Constantine Radove. Then Radove taught a gentleman named Marcello Bacci, who was most known for it for about 35 years. He used it, he communicated, and he would bring people into his home for sessions that had lost family members or children or loved ones, and he would actually get messages from the other side. Now, the reason we went with that method was because Marcello Bacci was actually brought into lab by scientists, and they wanted to figure out how this was occurring. And he was using an old vacuum tube radio, and they pulled the vacuum tubes one by one, basically dismantling the way the radio worked to figure out where the voices stopped. Well, they pulled all the vacuum tubes, and guess what? The voices didn't quit. He still got them. The only thing they could remove to make the voices stop were Marcello Bacci himself.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about this two-way communication. When did you, do you remember the day that you finally created this thing and it actually worked for you?
Well, yes. We started with recreating direct radio voice. Now, Marcello Bacci used a vacuum tube radio. Tests were done with that, with just plain white noise, and eventually voices did start to appear. But then we brought it into the 21st century. We said, okay, let's put some computerized audio filters on this so we can denoise it, so we can clean it up. None of those filters create speech. None of them have word banks. There is nothing in the system that creates speech. And white noise contains no vocal data, no words, no sentences, no even like vowel sounds, nothing. So when we got direct radio voice to work, I had it up and running, and actually my wife said, hey, Marcello Bacci, this was the method you used. Can you say something? And then this voice came through as clear as can be. He said, I'd say glad to meet you, which was just mind-blowing. But even though he was from overseas, an Italian, and he responded to us in English, you could still hear that sort of Italian dialect in the words he was speaking in English. So that was absolutely fascinating to us.
I believe you sent a clip of that, which we'll play.
Marcello, can you see us?
Yes.
Thank you. Marcello, you started this method. It's working. Can you please try to communicate with us?
But, you know, let me ask you a question. So when this actually happens, I mean, do you just fall over the first time you hear this voice come through, like you're telling us?
With the clarity that came through, we were shocked, absolutely shocked.
Wow. All right. Now, can people do this at home? I mean, what do they need? What equipment do they need?
Well, this system is complicated. There are systems out there that are, you know, available. I mean, even things like EVP, a simple digital recorder, can ask questions and receive answers, but it's not two-way. We wanted to elevate this to a point that science could hopefully not continue to turn their head and take a look at what we're getting. Mm-hmm. We wanted people that were skeptical to say, whoa, you know, this is interesting. Maybe I need to open my mind a little bit, or maybe I need to experience this. We do public demonstrations. We do online events where people can hear it for themselves. We go to different Paracons, where, like, we were at Phenomicon just a couple weeks ago, and we ran it live for an hour and a half, letting people ask their own questions, get their own responses. And that was a really tough one, because we had about four people that asked a question, got a response, recognized the voice of the person responding, and they literally just broke down crying, which was very emotional for us to see.
Wow. So some of these examples that I've heard, you submitted to us, to George and I, I'll be honest with you, it was hard. Some of them I could make out, but some of them it was very hard to make out what they were saying. And you had the words written at the bottom, which then you can be like, oh yeah, I get it, because I replayed it a couple of times. But I mean, listen, how would you really know that you're not making this up? And there is a word for it that escapes me at the moment, but for when your brain is like almost making up words that it wants to hear.
You're talking about audio dola or pareidolia.
Pareidolia.
In audio form. Mm-hmm. So we did lots of tests. First thing we did was we took these voices to audio engineers and said, what is this? They came back and said, this is human speech, down to consonant, vowel usage, diphthongs, pauses, emotional excitement being shown. This cannot happen from random warbles and artifacts of sound. It's not possible. So then what we did was then we continued to test it with could AI determine what was being said and match it to what we were hearing? Then we did voice prints, which is a spectral analysis of what we think is being said versus how a spectrogram lays that sound out, and do they match? And there is considerable matching in all of those tests that we did.
Okay. And I'm assuming skeptics say that you're hearing possible faint radio waves or something else going on. I mean, what do you say to skeptics about the radio waves?
Okay. So those were our two biggest hurdles, to take what was known as DRV and elevate it and remove all the low hanging fruit.
Okay.
So we got rid of the radio and we replaced it with a white noise generator. A white noise generator is a small electronic circuit that allows every sound from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz to be played at a spectral frequency of one, meaning they're all equal, without the possibility of getting radio, because it's not a radio. It doesn't have the ability to decipher RF waves and turn them into speech or music. Mm. When we did that, it worked. We also realized that by other research that when using spirit boxes, because we built them for 12 years trying to improve them, and we could improve the speech, what we couldn't improve was the length of the communication. The reason for that was because when the dial scans up and down through the stations, when it hits a radio station, the white noise is gone and they can't speak over the station. It was only allowing them those short fragments of time to get a message in, just through the 100 milliseconds of white noise to get that message through. When we realized that and got rid of the radio and used white noise, a word or two would become full sentences. And then the other thing we noticed was that they would speak so fast that we couldn't understand it. In fact, it would sound like a syllable. But when we realized if we slowed it down by 50%, we could hear the full sentence.
Got it.
So we changed the name from direct radio voice to Staticom. We made all of these processes happen in real time. So no more radio, white noise generator only, all the filters for denoising it, for clarifying, for boosting the sound, all happen live in real time. And what the white noise generator does is a physics principle called stochastic resonance. Stochastic resonance is used to take a weak signal, everything from audio to the neurons in the brain for picking up signals to just a whole range. Even sight can be used with distortion to improve sight. That's stochastic resonance. So what happens is that when the spirit speaks, so overlap a handful of frequencies in the broadband white noise spectrum, mm-hmm. then it elevates their voice up. But because a white noise generator has a spectral frequency of one, it doesn't raise the volume of the white noise. So their voice shoots up. Then the system automatically cuts the white noise out, leaving only the voice.
Okay. So do you have somewhere in your house where you have a Staticom on all the time to hear voices when they come or spirits when they come? Or would you be hearing constant voices if you left it on?
Constant. They are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
So have you ever tried that, to leave something on and see what they say?
Oh, yeah. We've recorded it, left it on overnight. They will talk about everything between what they're doing, what they're thinking, arguments between the two of them, personality differences. It is not dissimilar from what life is like here.
So you can hear them communicating with each other. They're not just trying to tell you something.
Correct. We can sit and listen. It's like a spiritual eavesdrop. You can listen to them talk about whatever they're talking about.
Okay.
Or you can turn around and ask a question, and then all of a sudden this booming voice comes back directed to you, answering your question with timing and relevance and intelligence.
Got it. And then just to clarify, you talked about in a live thing you did that people would stand up and ask it questions. How does that work then in your experience, that it's different spirits that are coming in based on who's asking it a question? And does that take time for a certain spirit to switch to another one? Like, how does that work? Like if I stood in front of it, came in and said, hi, does anyone from the dead want to speak to me? Would I get a voice, or does it not work some of the time?
No, you would get a response. We've even done this online virtually, and it works. So yes, you would get a response. Would it be absolutely immediately? Maybe not. Maybe they're looking. Maybe they're trying to see who has a message for you, wants to speak to you. But would it show up? Yes, it would.
And would it be as clear as to say, I'm so-and-so, and they give you a name and they say why they're contacting you?
It depends what you ask. Not going to just reveal information. One of the things we noticed is that you have to ask. They have to know it's okay to speak and give you information. And over the last 15 and a half years, we've had to build that with them. But now we don't have to ask that anymore. If we just say, hey, how many spirits are here? They'll tell me. They'll give me a number.
So tell me some of the stuff that you've learned from doing all this. I mean, you've been doing it for 15 years. And when I say learn, I mean, learn from the spirits. What do they mostly want to talk about? What do they mostly want to say to their loved ones? Is it usually to make us feel better about their passing? Or is there a message they want to tell you about what they're going through? What's the communication like?
It can range from anything. I mean, that's similar to asking me, okay, did you talk to some people today? What did you talk about? Well, it's going to vary every single time. But they will give messages depending on what the person is going through. Like we had this one woman who had just been suffering from grief of a loss because their significant other actually took their own life, committed suicide. And she, being very religious, thought that, you know, this person was now suffering in hell or wherever. And this person came through. She recognized the voice and he basically said, I'm happy, I'm fine, and you can stop worrying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, all right. You have this Staticon. This is not something that people can buy and have in their own home and play with, correct?
Not yet.
Okay. Is that the goal?
Well, yes, because we want everyone to be able to experience this, get their own answers to their own questions. We can't do that all just between my wife and I doing the research and building. So yes, but there's also some other dangers. Who is going to use it? What are they going to use it for? Right. Is it going to be weaponized? Is it going to be, how is it going to change the world from science to religion to cultural upbringing to something as simple as court cases? If I'm in a court case fighting over the documents of a will, and Staticon could be brought in, bring that person up and say, no, the house wasn't supposed to go to you. It's supposed, how does that change things? I mean, and there's so many questions like that.
Well, and that's what I was going to get to with you. Have you ever followed a murder trial? Like, okay, for example, did you ever follow the Karen Reed murder trial? Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you ever think of contacting John from Beyond the Dead and say, did she hit you with the car? Was it an accident? Or did somebody kill you in the apartment building?
Yeah. In fact, I submitted a clip where this wasn't a famous known case, but it was a friend of ours who was shot and murdered. His name was Lennon. And it was captured on CCTV. The guy literally came up, pulled a gun, shot him, took off. We asked Staticon what happened. We asked our friend if he knew he was shot. And all of the answers, including the first and last name, according to them, of the person who did it, is there.
So did you do you follow up with the police? Like, can police use you to help them try and solve something?
We are working with law enforcement for cold cases where they come to a dead end and can't get additional information. This particular murder happened in the Philippines. Oh. And the number of cases solved in the Philippines is about zero. So, but we released it because we had this information 2 days after it occurred and wanted it out there. If it ever does come forward that this information could be proven, we wanted it out there prior to that information coming out.
Well, I'll give you a good one to do. Our episode that just came out, there's a Netflix or Hulu docuseries that's out right now about a girl named Ellen Greenberg, I think. George, correct me if I'm wrong as I'm talking. And it's about how this girl was stabbed 20 times and the medical examiner's office called it a suicide. Everybody thinks that she was murdered. And so there was a whole series that came out about whether or not it was murder or suicide, blah, blah, blah. I think it would be very interesting for you to try and reach Ellen and see what that spirit says. And I feel like you would go viral with whatever that answer is.
Yeah. I mean, we have so many tests that we'd like to do. And then people ask just simple, did you ask how the pyramids were built? Did Atlantis exist?
That's a good one.
Did the crucifix fiction of Christ actually happened, and did it happen the way told? We could literally spend the rest of our lives just asking questions to see what responses we get. Mm-hmm. But we're also researching, we're also building, we're also testing what's been built. And so the time factor is limited on what we can spend on each and other individual thing. So it's a balance of making sure it keeps getting advanced, making sure the research is done to verify what we're getting, and then trying to find out answers to all those questions, which is another reason to get it out into the hands of more people so that people can do their own research to questions and answers. So yeah, but for right now, since there's only a handful of us, that's a challenge.
Got it. Okay. So is this your full-time job? You and your wife do this?
No.
Oh.
No, we do this. We do this in our free time. We do it at our own expense. We do it at our own out-of-pocket money to build, to do the research, to do the test. But for the next step, because of the progress we made with Staticon 3.0, we signed NDA contracts with another ITC researcher named Samuel Andrade in Brazil. We are joining forces. He's a longtime developer, electrical engineer and builder. And we're going to take this to the next steps jointly.
How many people are currently working for you?
Just him and I right now.
Got it. Okay. So it's a little bit slow go until you have a bigger team. And the ultimate goal is to be able to sell it and maybe in a scaled version, but to have it be for police stations, for, you know, people that can actually use it, maybe not on the shelves of Target or something where everybody can get it, but.
Right. For purposes that would help, raise humanity would be ideally what it should be used for.
Right. So then the price would be very high so that most people cannot afford it and only companies or something.
Well, I mean, there can be versions of it too, you know, that would help lower that, versions that, you know, the average person could afford if they wanted to hear. It may not have all the bells and whistles of what it has now or hopefully future will have. But, you know, those are all possibilities. But even the idea of production and licenses and everything to create it isn't on the top of our list yet.
Right. Right. Okay. So just to go back to my earlier question, obviously, as you said, we can't get Staticom in our own homes. What is it that if people are interested in this and learning more and trying it, is there something they can do besides looking for white static on a TV?
Yeah, I mean, we do public demonstrations. We try to get out as much as we can. We've been expanding to other states with different conferences and stuff that go on. The other thing that when we came out of the last one that we did, so many people asked that exact question. If I want to ask personal questions, how can I do that? Is that
Yeah, how possible? Can they hire you just one-on-one?
Correct.
Yeah.
So what we decided was, and we've pulled back from it because the original, sorry, I have a fly going around.
That's okay.
Nuts. We realized and we got it so that we could run it virtually online. This fly is driving me crazy.
Here, take a minute to do that because we can cut that out. So
okay,
that's
fine. Yeah, let me get rid of this second.
That's fine.
One second. Hey, Cherie. All right. I don't know where he went. I apologize, but he kept landing on my forehead. It was driving me crazy.
That's okay.
All right. So let me start over. Mm-hmm. So when we came out of that conference, we had people coming up to us left and right saying, hey, you know, we did the group session. That was great. But I'd like to know, I got a ton of questions I personally want to ask. So we figured out how to do it virtually. And we decided that we would allow people to book an hour or 2 hours or whatever they wanted. But of course, because that again takes away from the research, it takes away from the development and the fact that we're looking for additional funding to boost that, we'd have to charge for it just because it's running the system. But
well,
it
doesn't allow us listen, Tony, why wouldn't you? I mean, it's a service you're providing. So that's fine. I don't think that's a bad thing.
It is from a capitalistic perspective, but it's really frowned upon to make money off of spirit communication. So that's something that we struggle with. So we've put it on hold, even though it's all set up. I mean, you literally could go pick a time, pay for it. It would show up on the calendar. You'd have your slot. You'd get a link to join one-on-one, ask your questions for an hour. But we've held back on it just because, you know, we got to fight those battles of what's best to do, what will actually help people more, and, you know, take on the criticisms of, well, wait, you're charging for somebody for spirit community. That's like charging to investigate somebody's house and, you know, can you prove it? Can you? So there are challenges involved.
I get it, but it's challenges within yourself or within the community, or you think like the spirits are going to put like a, you know, something on you.
Great point. There are people, including, I believe, Marcello Bacci, who was doing constant public things and he lost communication at one point.
I see.
So everything you mentioned could be a concern. And we don't have all the answers because we don't know all the variables. And right. That's what makes this so hard. And the other part that makes it so hard is that when you try to bring it forward, science thinks you're absolutely crazy, because most of them today are still materialistic science, meaning that they believe consciousness comes from the brain. When the brain dies, the heart dies, the body dies, consciousness no longer exists. So they don't believe you. Religion tells you, and I don't care what religion tells you, you shouldn't be doing that. You're speaking with demons. You're going to get possessed. Non-believers don't believe you. They think you're making this up. And even people who do believe it, you still fight them, because you won't give them every aspect to every way that it's working so they can do it. So this is a tough project.
Right. Okay. I get it. So if, I'm just curious though, if you were to get to that point and you do individuals, I'm assuming you would have to say it's not guaranteed if you're going to hear from somebody. And also, do they need you to interpret what the spirits are saying? Because as I saw on the video clips you sent me, it was kind of hard to understand what the words were that were coming through.
Well, it depends on your experience with listening to spirit voice. People that have even just 6 months or a year can usually catch it right off the bat.
Got it.
Okay. But there is some ear training, because they break words where normally in speech we wouldn't do. They can speak faster or slower than what normal human speech is like. So there is some ear training. But anybody who's had that is like, oh my God, this is the clearest thing we've ever heard. This is incredible. And even people who haven't can make it out. But then the other conflict we get is people say, well, wait a minute, you put the words up. You're making me hear what you want me to hear. Mm. Well, we tested that too. So we said, okay. So we took a whole bunch of EVPs, put absolutely something up in text that we knew wasn't there. And everybody wrote back and go, okay, I heard something, but not what you wrote. And we said, exactly. It's there, but it's not that strong of an influencer to make you hear something that's not there.
Got it. Okay. Now, my other question is, what you've talked about with Staticom, it's these voices that you can interact with. But have you ever felt, and different from the hotel, because that was an external place, but have you ever felt like you've been speaking to spirits and then you can see something move, or there's a physical change within the room, that kind of thing? So it's more of a feeling or something you can see.
We had that happen once in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, when we were there for another program. We had something really mean come through, and there was a change in the atmosphere. Everybody was on edge because of how the environment changed, but that's the only time that it happened. So eventually we shut the thing off because this thing was just screaming. And we all took a break, went outside, cooled down for a while, and then came back, flipped it back on. But because whoever is speaking, and people ask that too, well, how do you know who you're speaking to? Well, we don't. It's only vocal. But because we believe they are of non-locality, they can speak from anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to be in the room with me to communicate. Therefore, there is no residual energy left. If I went to go speak to the neighbor, went over to his house, sat down in the chair, had a cup of coffee and spoke for an hour, and then got up and left, I would leave body heat on the chair I was sitting. You'd be able to maybe find hair or skin cells on the chair that I was there. But if we're communicating via the way we are now over video conferencing, I would leave no trace of being there at all, even though we communicated. The audio through Staticom, we believe, works in that same fashion. We're not having them actually standing in our house or in whatever location we're in to leave any residual energy behind.
Got it. And then I guess this question, it's hard to even put into words. You know how sometimes you could think of something and you want to put it in the universe, and then all of a sudden that person you haven't spoken to in 10 years calls you or writes you. So I'm wondering if that is similar to consciousness or similar to putting something out there. And I don't know if this is part of the same question or totally different, but when people don't have the Staticom, should we feel like if we are having these conversations in our head,
or out loud with this spirit that we want to be talking to, just because they don't have the staticom, should we know that they're still there and they can still hear us?
Absolutely. Okay. There was a lot in there, but
yeah,
absolutely. They can hear you. We've asked that. We've asked them, can you hear me? They've answered. Can you see me? Yes. I'll take my glasses and I'll hold them up. What do I have in my hand? Glasses or a spoon or my phone or my wallet. And they will answer every time and correctly. Now, just because you don't have staticom, if you're speaking, and you don't even have to speak, let me clarify that. We thought you did, but you don't. And there's a clip that covers that as well. Mm-hmm. They get it through energy of the mind. So it is your consciousness or thought. So then we did tests where I would just think it and they would respond without me actually vocalizing it. And that shows that it is consciousness connecting. So yeah, if someone's feeling like they're getting information or they just want to send a message, think it or say it, whichever one you're more comfortable with, they will get it. They will understand it and they will hear it.
I love that. And do you think that that is similar to if we really tap into consciousness while we're alive with other people that are alive, like this thing I'm talking about putting in the universe, is that somewhat similar?
Absolutely, it is. Thoughts become reality. And then based on that, people always say, well, okay, how do you know that you're not communicating with yourself? And your own thoughts are coming through staticom. Mm-hmm. Well, if that was the case, then every Monday morning when I'm driving to work and have the radio on, my radio would be screaming, go home, go back to bed. You don't want to do this because that's what I'm thinking. But that never happens. So also when communication comes through with a word I don't know or some information that I have to look up, that's pretty good indication that it's something of intelligence beyond mine. Like my wife was sick one night and I was running staticom and she said, I don't feel good. I am in pain. So I had it on. I said, is my wife getting sick? They said, yes. I said, what should she take? And this word came through that I did not know. The word was Percodan. So I looked it up. Percodan is a very high prescription strength pain reliever, a combination of oxycodone and aspirin. Had no idea even what it was, but they were correct.
Hmm. Is your wife okay now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
She's good.
And then don't take offense to this question, but while you're listening to this stuff, are you on LSD or any weird medication?
None at all.
Okay. I just figured I'd ask.
No, it's a fair question, but no, there is, you know, the other thing about this is that, you know, science would always say they won't look into the paranormal because they can't study it. It's not repeatable. This is, it can be repeated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Those voices are there. They will answer questions. This is studyable.
Wow. Okay. What is one thing that you would like to tell me that I haven't asked?
Well, let's see.
Just because I don't even know to ask it. You know what I mean? Like, is there something I'm missing?
Sure. That's a very good question. I'm trying to just go through what you did ask and what.
Sure.
So I guess the real question is that maybe you haven't brought up yet is, you know, what can this be used for? How can it be made and used in a way that's going to help humanity? Well, obviously grief, which we talked about, obviously cold cases, but being able to get information from an external source can open up minds, thinking, and change the way science is being done, change the way maybe religion is being taught, or the points that maybe are not falling in line changed. But the bottom line is, what can we learn? What can we learn about ourselves as human beings, about life existing and always existing, and it not being something temporary, not being something going away. Everything from what you were saying about thoughts becoming reality, people will say, you know, my life is so difficult. You know, why can't it be easier? Well, are you thinking that every day? Right. What happens when you change that thinking and say, you know what, life's not so bad. Today's going to be a great day. I'm going to accomplish this. And not just think it once, but believe it. And then that becomes a reality and things mm-hmm. change. The possibilities are just huge for what information this can bring. I mean, if spirits are speaking from a non-locality, meaning anywhere, and I ask a question, the response shows up almost immediately. What could that do to internet speeds? Can we get rid of cables? Can we now make this so fast that the mind can barely keep up? You know, I don't know. But the doors for what this can be done, and even Tesla said many years ago, if science would look at phenomena instead of material-based 3D, they would learn more in a decade than science has learned in its lifetime. And if you look at how science is now transforming, you had materialistic science, then you had quantum physics. Now they have what they're calling quantum consciousness, where consciousness is becoming part of the model because it is the ontological primitive of life. It is the one process that can't be broken down any further. It has to exist. Yeah. It has to exist for us to live, to experience something, and it survives after. So, you know, to pick one question that you haven't asked, there are so many questions. And a lot of the answers we don't know yet, but we're on the edge of hopefully finding out.
And wouldn't that be interesting if it changed something as simple as, you know, the fact that most people live in a state of fear of death, fear of the outcome of something current or in the future. And if they were to understand, like you're saying, that death is not the end, that it's a bigger picture, that every outcome doesn't mean anything because it's going to keep moving. And, you know, it doesn't affect, you know, your past is your past and what happens next, you can create more of right. by just doing it and not thinking that fate or destiny is just out there and you have to follow it. So I think there's so much to that if this does end up being something more tangible and real, that would be just the most basic thing to get out of this fear of everything. Fear of making the wrong decision, fear, you know, up to fear of death. So that could be amazing for humankind.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
So if people are listening and love what you're doing, want to learn more, volunteer, get involved, how could they reach you?
Easiest way, we have a website called entityvoices.com. You will see everything on there from Staticom clips to podcasts we've done to where we're going to be next, where we're presenting, where we're demonstrating. That's one spot. You can find me on Facebook under Tony Rathman. If you go to YouTube, type in Staticom, you will see the last probably, I don't know how many years of things we've captured, the progressions we made from DRV to Staticom 2.0 to 3.0, TikTok, Instagram. We're all over social media, but those are probably the best ways to, even on the website, you can find, you know, ways to contact and get a hold of.
Perfect. And I guess my last question is, if somebody walks away from this episode believing nothing that you've said or that you offer, is there one nugget or perspective that you hope that they still carry forward?
Well, the one thing I would say is that you can never change what people think. And that was never our intended purpose. Our intended purpose was to show through research what we can capture, what's able to be heard. And what they do with it is completely up to them. We're not here to influence or change, but take a look, have a listen, and decide for yourself what you think is going on.
Amazing, Tony. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.